passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We are back. We have another hour to go. It's been a fun show. Brian Kelly topped it off. Popped it off. You can tell where my mind is right now. Randy, pop a top for me, will you? It's early. It's actually late. It's beyond 5 o'clock. Manuel is up next in Texas. Hey, Manuel.
What's going on, Paul Feinbaum?
We're doing great. How's everything out there in Longhorn land?
Man, it's been good. We've just been squeaking by, honestly, Paul. This team can give you about a heart attack every weekend. But, you know, they're young. They're learning. They're learning how to win. It's obvious they're playing well because they get off to these 20-point leads and then they give them up. That's a clear sign of a team that is just not ready to put their foot on somebody's throat just yet. They haven't experienced that kind of success when they get up to those big leads against teams they're supposed to beat. They just haven't figured out how to step on their throat and kind of finish the job. And they better figure it out pretty quick, man, because that's the kind of stuff that can catch you any given Saturday. It just really is. So I'm really hoping that my boy Shark and the boys can get it together and go up to Ames, Iowa this weekend. And
hey, that's a win. Iowa is one of the more overrated places in America remember when Matt Campbell was like the hot coach?
Yeah, he overstayed. He really should have probably jumped on some of those.
I agree. I mean, this guy was 3 years ago. Everybody wanted Matt Campbell.
Everybody, man, everybody. And now, you know, he can't keep his players off FanDuel.com. I mean, he's really struggling. He's struggling to keep the culture out there, Paul. But hey, you know, we'll see what happens with my horns, Paul. We're squeaking by. I'm gonna tell you this right now. The reason we're struggling is because we're in this bull. I don't want to say a word, Paul, but this BS conference and having to play in Ames, Iowa.
No, you're right. Now, you got some. This is the payoff for what happened earlier, and Oklahoma's had to deal with it as well.
Yep, 100%. So we'll see what happens. Hey, Paul, I wanted to tell you something. This Texas A&M deal. Okay, first of all, Texas A&M, I know they got the facilities. I know they got the money. I know they're in the right conference. You know, they've had everything that they needed to be successful, but they're just not because they're not used to it. They've never done anything like that at that school, and so they're incapable of taking all the things that the SEC has provided and their donors and their big endowment and doing anything with it. I heard one of your guests earlier say that they were 12-14 since that big victory against Alabama in 2021. The reality of it is that season, when they caught Alabama by surprise, they were coming off back-to-back losses to Arkansas and Mississippi State. So let's not act like they were lighting the world on fire before that win versus Alabama. Jimbo Fisher's been Jimbo Fisher. He kind of lucked out with Jameis Winston. And now they are where they are because that's who they've always been. They may be able to break out of it at some point. I don't know. You know, I think this thing with Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC is a gift and a curse because they're going to get some rivalries back. But at the same time, now they're going to have competition in recruiting. And for that reason, I believe Dan Lanning is a hot name. I get it. People want to throw Dion's name out there. That's ridiculous. That's not going to happen. I'm going to tell you that the team, the person, the coach, that people in Texas are probably a little worried that may come up and get up on that list is Jeff Traylor over at UTSA, Paul.
I hear a lot of good things about him. I don't know much about him other than his reputation, his recent reputation.
Phenomenal recruiter. Right? First and foremost, knows the state of Texas. And this just may be me and people from here from Texas because, you know, we live and breathe Texas football, Texas high school football. But You know, coached at Gilmer High School, won 3 state championships.
Okay.
Went to like 5 or 6 state championships. And since he's gotten his first shot in the college ranks, he's done nothing but recruit the hell out of wherever he's been. And at UTSA, he's really doing things that haven't been done there before. So I think Jeff Traylor is somebody. If Texas A&M was smart, they wouldn't go for the flat top.
I think he fits the bill of the kind of coach that the AD there has gone after in the past. Hey, thank you very, very much. Be a lot cheaper than Dan Lanning, too. Joe is up next in Houston. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Old Manuel, he was actually trying to make a little bit of sense today, you know?
Rarely, but he did, yeah. Well, we haven't gotten to the Alabama-Texas comparisons yet and why Texas is going to get left out of the CFP, but we'll save that for a couple
right.
of weeks down the road.
Hey, I just want to make a couple of points. Coaching carousel, I was listening to Coach Sarkisian today on his weekly press conference, and he brought up an interesting point. I didn't think about it, but it's out there. He was asked by a reporter what he thought about the firings going on right now, and he said, well, one of the main reasons, and there's going to be more of them, is because of the early signing date in December. Athletic directors are wanting to get, you know, the new coach in for recruits, et cetera, et cetera. And the second point I wanted you to kind of elaborate on was Texas A&M coaching possibility that I hadn't heard is Cliff Kingsbury. So what do you think about those two points?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cliff Kingsbury is going to resurface, but I'd be a little bit surprised. I mean, his record, his reputation in that city is high, but
right.
I don't know if that works. So.
May not fit the A&M, the picture-perfect A&M type coach that some of these alumni probably want.
I think that would be a very accurate statement there. Hey, thanks. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Paul looking good and sounding good as always. I saw the agreements made with Jimbo Fisher. And if I'm correct, is he supposed to get $7 million a year for the next how many years?
Well, I think he gets 20 coming up here very shortly, and then he gets 7 a year until the contract is paid out.
For losing?
Well, that has nothing to do with it. It's, you know, contract law states as long as the contract is sound and agreed upon by both parties, then the beneficiary will be that, and that's the contract they all agreed on. Board of Trustees.
Oh, I understand. I understand all that Matlock lawyer stuff. I understand that. I'm just thinking that kind of money. It reminds me of what my daddy used to tell me when I was growing up as a kid. He said the only man or woman that never loses their job when they get it wrong is the weatherman. Y'all
right.
have a good night. Tell Randy I love him.
Randy, daddy's all over you. Michael in Florida is up next.
Hey, Paul, man. Thanks for taking my call. First time caller, long time listener.
Wonderful.
Sorry, my little son is making a lot of noise here in the background. So just curious, man. I see a lot of people talk about Urban's name up in the A&M. Mix. Do you think that's feasible? Number one, also with Tennessee as a Florida person, but a Tennessee grad, got a lot of hopes for Nico. Just your thoughts about Nico in the future and things like that.
Yeah, I'd like to see Nico soon, Michael. Thank you. As far as Urban Meyer, I think there's no chance. Urban Meyer could get talked into it somewhere down the road, but it would have to be a place unique, someplace he would be comfortable. And I would put Texas A&M way down on a reality list. He's trouble. He's a great coach, but he's nothing but trouble. And I don't think an organization like Texas A&M, a school that is built on core principles and integrity and in the past, the storied past, the military past, would want to get anywhere near Urban Meyer. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back late on Monday afternoon, early evening, some places. Let's head down to the barrister from the Big Easy. Augie is up next.
Paul, I heard you earlier citing the due process clause. You were citing the 14th Amendment, but you left out the 5th. But I'm impressed that you even knew that it was buried in the 14th, too.
Well, I watch Law and Order, so that's how
okay.
I found out about it.
All right. I told you about Ole Miss's defense, Paul, didn't I? I told you they were terrible. They're absolutely awful. I mean, their best win, supposedly, was LSU, right?
Oh, I mean, it may turn out to be, it's a cross between LSU and Tulane.
Well, again, Tulane had a backup quarterback. I keep bringing that up. But, I mean, if that's their best win, they're really hurting. But, Paul, did I sense a bit of sarcasm in your conversation with BK? And I know I did, even though you won't admit it. And you know what it was?
What?
There were two words that you threw out to him as you were talking to him about Florida. And there were two words that you were really hitting him over the head with after we got beat by Ole Miss. Major rivalry. Paul, that's the third ring. You know, you're best when you're in that third ring. So, but you know, I don't know if you saw that Florida game. We almost blew that one too. I mean, there was a point where we were behind in the third quarter. So I still, as Dwayne said, I do not see that defense improving at all. But Paul, we didn't get your take on Jimbo Fisher's firing. You've asked a lot of other people. What do you think about it?
I'm still trying to square the variations of the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment, but I'll answer your question because there are some. Isn't the 14th Amendment, isn't the Due Process Clause identical to the Fifth Amendment description?
I think so. Okay. Yes, it's been a long time since I took constitutional law, but it's in both. Yes.
Okay. And by the way, it was my favorite course in college for whatever reason, because I've never really been able to apply it until this moment. I thought the decision was correct. I thought it was necessary. I'm not trying to give you cliches, but to me, after Ole Miss, the book had closed shut. There was nothing left for him to do. He was either going to finish 8-4 or 7-5, which from my estimation is a failure. I know a lot of the sports writers we've talked to kept lowering the standards and moving the goalposts, but I thought anything short of competing for the SEC West was cause to make a change.
Now, how does all of this reflect on Scott Woodward? Because he hired him, and he wanted to bring him to Baton Rouge.
Yeah. Well,
is this in any way?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Ross Bjork is the guy on the spotlight, but Scott Woodward just had a nice – he had a beautiful, nice Monday, and nobody blamed him for anything because he was smart enough to get out of there.
But he wanted to bring him to Baton Rouge.
Well, I think there's truth to that. Ultimately, you don't know what kind of poker he was playing. I would be curious to hear how. I mean, there are many who argue the deal was close to being done. You know that.
That's all I've heard, was that it was close to being done. It was either him or Lincoln Riley, and either of those two are really working out for him. I'm not saying BK's a great hire, as you think it is. I'm still waiting to see something happen, but.
Hey, by the way, if you gave me a choice between hiring Jimbo Fisher right now or Lincoln Riley, I would have to think about it.
I would go and hire Willie Fritz.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Lincoln Riley is another one who is living off of some really great talent at quarterback and has really done – I mean, tell me somebody who has had the kind of quarterbacking that he has and really not come up with a championship.
No, even BK won the West last year with Jaden Daniels. Yeah. And I have to disagree with you. Jaden Daniels is the best college football player in the country. I just can't, even if he doesn't
I was answering that question earlier by being realistic about the Heisman. And,
right.
And that's why I asked Coach about what he thought. Not that, I mean, I knew what he was going to say, but I still wanted to hear it.
Paul, are we on death watch for Sam Pittman's coaching career at Arkansas officially starting now?
I believe he is in dire straits. That's an opinion. That's not based on speaking to anyone. That's just after Saturday, it's hard to walk back from another home embarrassment.
Well, I got to say, he looks horrible in his post-game interviews. He looks beaten down. He looks like he's on his last rope, and he looks like firing would be sort of a very humanistic thing to do for the poor guy. I feel really bad for Sam. But anyway, Paul, we'll see how it goes. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Augie. You're asking me about the Second Amendment? Okay, so we got a clarification here. The Fifth Amendment was primarily put in for federal. The 14th is applicable to state, which makes me curious why Augie didn't know that, considering he's giving legal advice to people at the local thrift store. Lou is in Tennessee. Hey, Lou, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing this evening? Happy post-Veterans Day. I'm a veteran myself, 20 years.
Wonderful. Thank you for your service.
You know, I watch this show all the time, and when I call in, I got a specific question. And then when I watch and watch and watch, it's an amazing thing to hear all the dialogue. So A&M, big topic. Arkansas, big topic. All the things that you've been talking about is a big topic. But I always call about Tennessee because I truly believe that we looked to Georgia against Schrader Shredder. And that's what you got to call that guy. That guy shredded Tennessee.
I mean, I don't know when I've seen a bigger beatdown than that. And I'm talking about quality teams. I'm not talking about Georgia State versus Alabama.
I got a name change on the TV. I'm Sweet Lou.
Okay. Yeah, way to go, Sweet.
I'm making it.
Well, hey, thank you very much, Lou. Appreciate it. How about Elliot in Ohio? Elliot.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if you think there's a shift in the expediency of firing coaches, especially now that the Michigan State job is open. And I agree with your reflections on Jim Harbaugh. I think he's gone one way or another. I really think there's a bigger problem there. And that job's going to be open. Do you think it's like the portal? Now we have to act fire faster and firing coaches to get great talent?
Well, you have to fire faster because of the portal. And that thing opens here in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And if you don't have a coach in place, you could lose almost everyone you have and not be able to get anyone with the recruiting deadline about 2 weeks later. I mean, December is the month in college football right now. And
no,
ADs are just saying, forget it. Well, we're not going to waste another minute.
Hey, one more thing. Thanks for hanging up on Bash. That was awesome.
It was even more fun hanging up on you. We'll take a short break. We still have 30 minutes remaining, and we are back right after.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And now it's time for Fansville, brought to you by Dr. Pepper. Fansville takes us to Georgia. They're one away. I've been around long enough to tell you that I was at both Alabama games when the streak ended. Might be the Georgia game. Now they have. They'll break it before. Yeah, and they could. Anyway, Tennessee just dropped some news on everybody. You know who's going to be at the game Saturday?
Who got fired?
No. Celebrity. Think about this for a second. What person that from Tennessee lives in Tennessee? And older than me, by the way. Dolly Parton is going to be in Knoxville.
Woo!
I want to meet Dolly. Never met Dolly. Bratton just texted me and said he can handle it. Anyway, Dolly has a new album out. I wonder if she's going to sing. I saw Charlie Daniels sing at Neyland Stadium about 20 years ago. You like Dolly? Here you come again. Was that Dolly back in the 70s? Yeah. I don't consider anything with Kenny Rogers. Billy is up next in Philly. Hello, Billy.
Hi, Paul. I'm jealous about who you're going to meet next weekend.
I haven't met her yet, but it's possible.
Here's my question. I'm interested.
I walk down the hallway and Dolly's coming out of a room. Watch out.
It seems to me that the management of universities, the administration, and the alumni that pour money into it are misbehaving more in this transition of NIL than either the players or the coaches. I mean, they're as desperate and uncontrolled as I ever imagined. I expect that for young kids and coaches, but am I missing something?
No, I mean, I think that's something that you're going to hear a lot about once the editorial writers and the critics get a hold of the story. But there is certainly there are people responsible for these financial decisions. You're 100% correct.
I mean, are the alumni telling the head of Texas A&M what to do because they got the money and they're going to do this and they're going to do that? And it doesn't make any. I mean, they're just too, they all seem too greedy.
Well, I think that's one of the most interesting parts of this story right now, that what happened yesterday at A&M didn't really surprise or shock anyone. As much as that number was discussed, we all were inoculated to think that there's no way, and then suddenly they have a bad season, and it happened. And I think that means that buyouts, as big as they are and as ridiculous as they are, aren't going to stop anyone from doing anything in this new modern world that we're living in.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the universities are certainly part of it. They're not putting the brakes on. I mean,
but Georgia's they're unusual. Able to camouflage it by saying, hey, it's not coming from no student is losing anything over it, but it's just, I every time I talk to somebody on a college campus, I worry, and I know you do, because we've had this conversation about all the money that's going in to whether it's paying off a coach or collectives or NIL, that money normally would have been earmarked for something else, would it not?
I just don't get it. They don't seem to be a voice of reason. That's all.
I'm interested in having this conversation more because I think at some point there'll be a reckoning. I just don't think we're there yet. And the reason we're not there is the television money. It's so massive, getting bigger.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. They're hypnotized by it too.
Everyone is.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's, that's not what's called leadership.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Fast Eddie. I always trust a guy named Fast Eddie. Fast Eddie is up next.
Paul, I'm about to give you the most untrustworthy information you'll never believe.
I believe it already.
Lane Kiffin is in contract negotiations with Texas A&M as we speak. Kiffin will be the next head coach at Texas A&M.
Well, that would be great. Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be amazing. He's the best offensive coordinator in the game.
The guy that got Jimbo fired, and let's cut to the chase. Lane Kiffin got Jimbo fired last week.
Yes, sir. If he didn't fire himself before the season, Saban.
He did that, but that loss to Ole Miss was the final straw. AJ is up next.
My, oh my. How about that Razorback pie? 354 yards on the ground, Paul, starting to come together in a running game. We dried up that hog pen, you know what I'm talking about?
How about Hugh Freeze was saying a minute ago, you know, we could have scored a lot more. I mean, Hugh, what else
did
you do?
Oh, yeah, could have been.
You beat a team. What was the final score? It was
41 to 10, something like that.
We could have beaten them 58
to 10. I flipped over.
Come on.
Oh, that was crazy.
Have you ever heard Nick Saban say that? We could have beaten Kentucky more. No, that's a...
he sure as hell couldn't have beat them like that. He did earlier in the year. Auburn brings that in 2 weeks. That's probably why Legend hadn't called today.
And by the way, Auburn, Alabama is going to be an 11-point favorite over Auburn. That line is not that large.
I wouldn't bet on that one.
I would.
And I know you're a betting man.
Yeah, I've already.
I definitely wouldn't bet on that one. But hey, what about this? Let me ask you something, Paul. I keep hearing this from all these ignorant idiots. Alabama's back. Only thing back, Paul, is their fair weather fans. They're filing. They don't want Saban's head no more. They don't want Jalen Rose over there on the bench. They don't want Tommy Reed sent back to Notre Dame. All it is now they're happy because they're doing a little bit of winning. But in 2 weeks, we're gonna bust them in the damn mouth. That's just the bottom line. We're gonna bust them in the mouth. They gonna know we was there, and we're gonna destroy their season. I don't care if they go to the SEC championship. It don't matter. I just want to beat their ass, and that's one thing that Hugh Freeze has got going for him. He can beat Nick Saban's ass, and that's what's going to happen. War damn eagle.
We do not test callers for acuity or IQ. Let's check in with James next in Texas.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you, James.
So I had a caller earlier that brought up Pittman and possibly being fired. I wonder that myself, but, you know, who are we going to get to coach? Because I don't hear a lot of coaches standing in line waiting to coach Arkansas. And that's been the problem for years. You know, he talked about wanting to build culture, but, you know, obviously that's not happened. And I never really understood why we cannot get, you know, a good coach that consistently, you know, win. I mean, I don't think we're going to, you know, beat Bama or, you know, Georgia or anything like that anytime soon. But
by the way, you had
one. I think you can do better than
13 years ago.
Yeah. You know, we had, you know, you had the debacle with Petrino.
Yeah, one of those. Now, would Bobby Petrino had stayed there? No. He would have eventually parlayed that into a better job because that's just the way Bobby Petrino is an alley cat. I mean, he's always looking to, looking for the next prey. But that was a good run by Petrino. So it can happen.
Well, you know, like I said, it just, I've been watching them for years and, you know, grew up watching them.
I thought Brett Bielema was a pretty good hire too.
Well, he kind of turned out to be – he reminded me of a car salesman, just kind of full of it, you know.
Well, and he was, but, I think he had it going for a couple of years, and then it – I mean, I don't know. I mean, every time I go to Arkansas, the thing that I'm amazed at, the facilities are great, the fans, the passion, the support. I mean, it's unparalleled, and I just don't understand that program not being successful, other than the obvious, which is the neighborhood that they compete in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we got a great basketball program, great baseball program, track, but for whatever reason, we just cannot get a good coach to want to go up there. So,
hey, thank you very much. I'm personally, I mean, a lot of the time these coaches come and go, and you show up and you report it and you talk about it and you move on. But if Sam Pittman loses his job, that will be painful to me and many people in our industry because of the great affection that we had for him. Not many will be saying the same thing about the coach that lost his job at College Station yesterday. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.